we're ending a transition and moving into a new season. And we've mentioned that for a few weeks, but it's important to keep remembering that because we can get really kind of stuck in the present moment thinking, whoa, what's going on? And what's going on is that we are moving out of a very long transition that lasted almost 2.5 years from beginning to end into a new chapter, if we're using a book metaphor, or a new season, if you like. We're just moving into something new, something that hasn't happened before, but yet there are elements of the past that we take on, and we're moving into that. And that's because I've just been here for about 1.5 years, and that's when, you know, after the new pastor arrives, it's about 1.5 years before the transition is over. So in light of that, what we've been looking at is our vision and our values and the way that they affect us, the way that we apply them and walk in them. And we've looked at the past strategic plan, which, as I mentioned to you before, absolutely excellent, that was put together before Carol and I arrived here. And we have... A few of us have gone deeply into that over the summer and done some revision, proposed it to our vestry, which is our board. They voted, yes, this is great. And so now we're sharing it with you. And what we're going to do today is look at the values, and we're going to think about them. And then next week, what we're going to do is have some small groups where you, in place of the sermon, where you can talk about these values in a certain way. And I'm going to share with you today some ways of approaching those core values where you will be able to do that, and how actually foundationally important that is to do. And what I want to do is throw in just an aside about one of the ways that's important that I wasn't planning to do. What I did with the sermon, by the way, was I submitted it to our committee that has worked with me on this, which is Pete and Larry and Evelyn, and said, this is what I'm thinking about the values that we worked on. What do you think? And they just sent me some great ideas. And this was not one of them that I'm going to share with you right now. one of the importance of core values is how you forgive and how you move after that. What the relationship is like after that. So if there's some kind of offense or falling out or whatever it may be, then Jesus will give you the power and the ability to forgive. If the two of you share the same values, you can move on together from that, working together, being together, doing things together. If the two of you do not share the same values after that, you can be completely forgiven, but probably cannot go very far together because the values will keep clashing. If that's the case, you have, what I want you to do is take confidence and reassurance that if you have forgiven someone and it still circles back to a clash, it's not because you haven't forgiven them. I would think you have. And Jesus has given you that ability. And you've responded to him well. It's just that the other person has a set of values and you have a set of values that are different. Jesus loves them all. It's just that you probably are going to be working more closely or walking more closely with others who share the same values. Very important to keep in mind, because we can really get off track sometimes if we're thinking, well, I forgave this person, now look at him. You know? It's not going to work. Well, it might not, and that's okay. That's really okay. You still have the forgiveness. You still have the love. You still want them to see them blessed. But a close path together may not be workable, and that's just fine, absolutely fine. Now, what does that mean for us, you know, as a congregation? This idea of values. Well, what we have is a vision and we have values. From that, we build vehicles for ministry, and then we move on to how we value, you know, the valuation, how we monitor that. You notice they all start in V? That's how we remember them. I'm not really that sharp of a guy, just they all start in the same letter and it's workable. So we have a vision which we have looked at. We are inviting people into the kingdom of God, inviting our surrounding communities into the kingdom of God. And you recall that every church has a picture of what the future of the surrounding community will be like because God has placed us here. And for us, it's the restoration of relationships that God wants to see happen so that people can move together in the kingdom. Other churches will have other slices of the kingdom, and then altogether, things really get interesting and powerful when the churches are all working together. Even if it's unconsciously, they're all working together. It works great. The values, oh, by the way, the vision answers the question. St. Francis Episcopal Church is like a fill in the blank, and almost 100% of the time it was a family. So then we said, well, okay, the family of God, and we want to invite people into that. That's like the kingdom. Now, the values that you have in your hand answer a different question. And the question for the values is this. When we are fully engaging with God as our Father, we are like, or our relationships are like, fill in the blank. That blank is a lot longer. It's not one statement. There's a whole set of things which we are like when together we are engaging God as our Father. And you might say it's our code. It's the code of St. Francis. It's how our relationships work. It's how this family comes together and the things that we do. You know other families, they, you know, different families operate in different ways. And this is the way that we work. Some of you may know families where you think, please don't treat me like one of the family. I don't want to do that. Well, that would be normal. That would be normal. So this is what it is for us. Now, I want to draw a comparison that is essential for living a Christian life and the way that we engage with each other, apply the core values, and pursue the vision. And there is a difference between a covenant and the kingdom. And when you read the scripture, for example, there are two main themes. And every piece of scripture is one or the other. It's either covenant or it's kingdom. And if once you see that, once that's your lens and you're looking at the scriptures, you can begin to pull out what is going on here. What is the story about? And generally, it's about either covenant or kingdom. And kingdom is, it is, if you will, the reign of God. It is when God is in charge. It's when God's getting what God wants to get. That's what, then the kingdom is present. And there are signs of the kingdom. For example, relationships are restored. People are healed emotionally, physically, spiritually. The hungry are fed. There's a whole list in the book of Revelation which describes what the kingdom will be like. That breaks in to our world today. And as we pursue that and go with that, that's the kingdom. Our responsibility, as you know, is to work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom. It's what the Book of Common Prayer says, and I say it often, as you may recall. Another way of looking at this is the kingdom is how we represent God to those we know and then those around us. It's our representation of the presence of God. Now, this is where the values come in. See, that's the kingdom. That's the vision. The values come in here because a lot of people derail right there. And they say, well, how am I going to do that? That is not possible for me. No way am I going to be able to pull that off. Or other thoughts similar to that. They're like, what is John talking about? Things like this. And it is the covenant which supplies the capability to represent God, to carry out the kingdom. It is moving into the covenant of God that gives the power to extend the kingdom. Once that is something that we embrace inside our souls, or whatever works for you, then the idea of extending the kingdom is no longer something that derails us, but it is something that we lean on God to be able to do, because it's God's kingdom anyway, and we rely on Him for everything. That's what grace is about. And we begin to move in that covenant, increasing our capacity to extend His kingdom. So, the next question I think that comes up is, well, what's a covenant? It's like that old Bill Cosby album. What's a cubit? Do you remember that? Some of you maybe are not that old, but that's all right. What's a covenant? A covenant, let me compare it to a contract first, because most of us, particularly today, operate in a series of contracts. And that is, a contract is, well, you do this and I'll do that. If you don't do this, then I'm not going to do that. It's equal. It's two equal parties coming together. A covenant is where one group that is the most powerful brings other groups that are less powerful into a relationship. The more powerful group provides everything for the relationship, and the less powerful groups bring everything they have into the relationship. But it's the more powerful group that makes sure that everything in that relationship works, is provided for, and is able to function. For us in the covenant of God, the Trinity, the more powerful group, invites us into a relationship, and it is the Trinity which provides everything to function in that relationship. Every provision, every thought, every relationship, every circumstance, every piece of power that we need all comes from the Trinity. That's the covenant. The place where the covenant is most often seen in our society today is at a wedding. Now, if the couple's done some kind of prenuptial agreement, then the idea of a covenant is almost completely muted and covered. Just about. You can find it if you look, but it's almost gone, because that's a contract. A prenuptial agreement is, you do this and I'll do that. If you don't do this, then this is not going to happen. That's a contract. A covenant of marriage assumes this. The couple will not be able to keep the vows. God enables the couple to keep the vows. The covenant is the more powerful group, the Trinity, drawing the couple into the relationship and providing everything necessary for that to happen. The ability to walk together, the ability to see each other, particularly if your marriage is magnetic, if you know what I mean. Opposites have attracted. You're going to need God for that. You are. Forgiveness, all this comes from God. And He's providing that power to do that. That's a covenant. A covenant also provides for us in the covenant of God three things in particular. One is the fatherhood of God. And this is where God calls us by name, says, you are my child. In you I am well pleased. And you don't have to do one thing for God to extend that to you. It's just God's love and His grace. He's pouring it out to you because God loves. The only way you don't get it is if you turn away from it. It's free. No charge. then you also gain your identity from that. Because God has called you my child, you get an identity from that. That comes from the covenant too. And that is something that God provides to you. And we've looked at that earlier in the year. Part of your identity is your base gifting. Are you apostolic? You know, do you always start things? Are you prophetic? Are you always telling the truth? Whatever, you're always gathering people. That's part of your identity that comes from God. All those things. And other parts of you, other pieces of you, your personality, all of it comes from God. That's part of the covenant. And then the last part of the covenant is obedience, where that's where it starts overlapping with the kingdom. And obedience, sometimes referred to as the O word, is you acting consistently or in accordance with your identity. It's you carrying out your name. You're walking in the family name. It's God has called you by name, and that's how you start living under His power. That's why if you sin, like before leaving this room today, you will not be disqualified. You will not be kicked out of the kingdom. You will not be told by God that you really didn't measure up. None of that's going to happen because He has already called you by name. What He will do is provide for you the ability, the power, the capacity to live in accordance with your name, in harmony with your name. Let me be as transparent as I possibly can with you. Sometimes that just bothers me. I'd rather do it myself. And I know it bothers you too, because you've told me. And when our reaction is, well, how am I going to do that? I can't do that. What's God expect of me? That's you telling God you'd rather do it yourself. And the reason that you come up to that place, that wall, is because there is a slice of the grace of God that is going to invade your heart and your soul that will empower you to come back to who you are, to your identity, to be restored to what your calling is, and you will be able to walk in that. The resistance that you feel, the resentment you may feel towards somebody, the kind of thing that happens when you're thinking, well, God wants me to do something, I'm not going to do it, I just feel terrible, or whatever it is, it's negative. That is God saying, I will walk through this with you. That's the covenant. That's where our values come from. Our values are an expression together of that covenant. It's us walking together in alignment with our identity as a congregation. Right, now, I want to just mention one or two things about each of these values here. Could I borrow someone's brochure? Oh, Pete, thanks. Thank you. Very good. Okay. Yeah, what we have are several core values. And we have them under two sections, the covenant of God, the kingdom of God. And it is really, we're unpacking the summary of the law. Some of you, by the way, may know that as the great commandment, as Larry tried to convince me of that. And I wasn't going to be convinced, but he was correct. A lot of people call it the great commandment. I just don't. That's and I got used to the prayer book expression, which was the summary of the law. And it's the same deal, same thing. So you can ask Larry any question you want about this also, and he will not steer you wrong. So we have the covenant with God, and under that is worship. And worship has to do when we come together at His table and we sing to Him, we offer Him our sacrifice of praise, and He once again pours His grace upon us as His family weekly. We come to Him and have that time when he says, all of you are my children, and in you I am well pleased. There's a lot more we could say about that, and we will someday, but not today. Notice the next section, which says the kingdom of God, and we are going to revise this document a little bit more, and we may revise that because as I look at it, I'm thinking it may be a little vague about covenant and kingdom. So we'll think about that. But nonetheless, presence is another value that we hold dear, and that is we engage with God's presence here in worship, and then we engage with God's presence everywhere, wherever we are. What we see him here, and we recognize God anywhere because we've come to know him. Let me just remind you of something that I've used to illustrate that from time to time. In our family, as you know, my name is John. My son's name is John. My father's name is John. Carol's father's name is John. Every so often, some other John shows up. It's like a John vortex right there. And when Carol says John, each of us knows exactly which one she means. Because we know the sound of her voice. I know the sound of her voice when she's talking to me and addressing me. Here, we come to know the sound of God's voice, and then wherever we are, we recognize it again. It doesn't have to be in this room, although this is one of the main places we come to recognize it. The next one is service, and we value service. It's one of the great things of this church. We serve with Caritas. We serve with Christmas Mother. Yeah, Christmas. I've messed up that name a few times, but still, it's there. With the Gutzon Free Clinic, the Y sponsored backpacks, and all kinds of other things. We just throw in with it, and it's absolutely wonderful. What we also as we do that, we grow in that. We also come to recognize that we can throw in with people and build them up and actually give that service away to them in different ways, using their assets, their planning, and that sort of thing. It's because God is present there in that service. And then there's Christian invitation. There's no such thing as an outsider at all. And we want that to be known and understood very, very well. Anyone is welcome here. Anyone is welcome at this table. And if you want more of Jesus, we're going to put you on the path to get more of Jesus here. And it doesn't matter who you are or what's going on, what your life's been like at all. I don't know what else to say about that. And then there's discipleship. And discipleship, of course, is where the core values begin overlapping with the vision. Because discipleship means that we open ourselves up to Jesus so that he can transform us to be like him in every way. We take on routines and rhythms of life where we're transformed to be like him. And then from there, we encourage each other in that way, just with that kind of openness, encouragement of each other for that to happen. And then we move out into the world looking for others who may be ready to do the same thing. Much as the Great Commission tells us, go therefore into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them and teaching them, and so forth. That's who we are. This is who we are together. When we are fully engaged together with God as our Father. And the underlying thing it begins to answer is this, the need to belong. We all have a need to belong. And that need to belong is deeper than anything we go to satisfy it. Absolutely anything. Even the richest, most intimate time of worship or relationship that we have, wherever it may be, there will still be underneath that somewhere a drive to belong, That's a God-given longing. And every heart has it. When we come together around these values, we are beginning to answer that longing, that desire to belong together in the values that we share. And we can walk together and serve together and minister together while that longing is being answered. The challenge always is when that longing is being answered, God is asking us to walk in connection with our identity, in concert with it, in harmony with it. And you remember, that is obedience. Obedience is walking in harmony with our identity. So my first challenge to you this morning is this. What has God been talking to you about concerning obedience? About walking in harmony with your identity as He has spoken it into you. It could be a small matter, or it could be larger. It could be very challenging, or it could be something where you went, oh, now I see. But it's from God, and the challenge is you walking in harmony with the identity He's given you. What would that challenge be? Now, my second item. Some of you are guessing it already correctly. What step would God be asking you to take that is in harmony with your identity? Not just what's the challenge, but what's the step? If you would pray about this week, look at it. I'm going to post the questions that we'll be discussing next week on the newsletter so that you can look at that. And of course, they'll be available next week also. But just lean into it some more. It's who we are. It's who we are together. And that's where we're going into in this next new season, together with who we are. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we praise You, we bless You, and we thank You that You have called us by a name. And we ask for Your capacity and ability to walk in harmony with what You have called us, so that we may walk with You all the days of our life. Amen.